Okay, so we're supposed to start today which is Avasreya, right?
Avasreya.
Can I ask a question but just based on Dibor quickly?
Sure, please.
Maybe Shrika. That's probably what I should do.
One second. You can speak a bit louder? Can you put your mic on louder or something? A drop louder.
No.
Yeah, now it's good, yeah.
What is the Indian of Tfila Bedibur? Davka, that has to be Moitzi Bedibur. And also, we find by Limud HaTorah there's such an Indian to
correct.
Be Moitzi Bedibur.
Correct. And Talmud Torah, I mean, people make a mistake. The word Kriya is something which we translate in modern English, reading in the way we read, which is a sort of a browsing act, whereas most of the time, kore means to read out loud. To, you know, it actually means we use it in modern English also. The reader is the person who says it in front of everybody else. He's the one who reads it, and so on. So the word kore usually means a lot more the reader in terms of somebody actually articulating something, as opposed to looking at something with the eyes and sort of getting it in. I mean, there's a question, there's a big shaila in learning if here is kediba domi or not. You know, about kares mutalahara or not mutalahara, because so the dibur is definitely paramount, both in terms of tefillah, like you said, and in terms of Talmud Torah. I would assume Talmud Torah is the one that's still more, it needs more of a hesba, because tefillah, in as much as we understand it an act of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have all sorts of physical gestures, we stand straight, we fold our hands, we walk back, we take 3 steps back, 3 steps forwards, there is a physical sense of talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to Talmud Torah, which is l'chura a very individual act. So, you know, you would actually be quite, you would wonder why Talmud Torah is that important. And you see it's important because it really, hear kedibur or not, is a shaila. Chazal do say another place in Erevin that Chayim Heim Lemoitzi Ehem, that Torah is life for those who enunciate it, as opposed to people who just kind of look at it. So obviously the type of learning that we call reading did happen, and Chazal Madgish saying it out with your mouth as being a lot better way of learning, but in halacha, for the needs of brachas, reading with your eyes is not really reading. So let's talk about it a little bit. Actually, it's a good thing to speak about. I guess it would also be worth speaking about it. It is in Yana Yom also a little bit. For two reasons. I mean, Esther's Mila is that she's Ein Esther Magedes. Esther's Mid of Shtika seem to be a very, very critical piece over here. Now, I if you look at it in the Megillah, the Ein Esther Magedes Es Moladeta is kind of just a Hechetimtza. The only way she could pull a fast one on Achashverosh was by circumventing, you know, by not telling him, and then at the dramatic moment she pulls out her little mug and dove it and says, here I am. And you know, but so first of all, it doesn't seem as if the Mida was central, just kind of worked out real neat. I would have a second question. Would it not have been more effective if she would have immediately upon getting married to him presented herself as the Jewess, and then maybe Haman never would have dared to attack them? True, we wouldn't have Purim. That is true. If she would have opened her mouth, we'd be -1 yontif. But we certainly wouldn't have had the scare we had. So why? I mean, why is that a maila? At the end of the day, she could have said it. I understand she didn't want to say it before she got taken as a wife, because of pardon the pun, it might have hurt the shidduch. To what, if she's Jewish, maybe Hashem wouldn't be so inclined to take her. But once she got married, why didn't she just tell him, by the way, I'm a Jewish, and that probably would have stopped a lot of anti-Semitism. He might have also favored the Jews. It doesn't say any real reason why she didn't do it. It just seems to somehow fit with her personality. Esther's Melosha Hester and so on. But by Ledovahu, what was that shtick all about? And Chazal make a point of it. They say that Shaul, it says Shaul didn't tell anybody. Chazal said in the same word that Shaul didn't tell anyone about the Dvar Malchus. It's almost the same word of the same thing. They both were made kings. They both were endowed with royalty. She didn't tell Achashverosh, and he didn't tell his father. Binyamin was Shaul's sick. It's Chazal. Chazal pointed out as something which is a midah tova that stretches from generation to generation, meaning it's a real core midah, and it found its value in this case over here. You find Chazal say dabronius hoisa. Bas dabronius, like ima shalah. The dabronius is a midah. And it's not a positive midah. So we have here shtika as a positive midah, and even if we're not talking like he says about Devarim B'Talim and things like that nature. So what's the inyan first of shtika? And then maybe once we have an understanding of where shtika comes in, we'll be able maybe to answer your question about when is Dibur effective? So let's take it this way. Let's first go with the meat of shtik itself, as expressed by Esther specifically, and let's see what its value is. If a person is enjoying something, if a person has something, let's say I have, I know, tremendous wealth, and I need to tell everybody about it. So that means that my tainug is not realized in the wealth itself. My tainug is realized when someone else validates it. Like we spoke two or three times ago, the musig of somebody else validating it, that's where the tainug comes in. But the thing of itself doesn't have value, and it's only with the other person who validates it. What happens in that case is I give the other person control over myself. In a sense, I am being meshabed myself to the other person. So, if I let everybody know that I do tikkun chatzos, and someone comes along and says, I heard that Chaim Konevsky holds you shouldn't do tikkun chatzos, and it's not a good thing to do. So, I have now really, I've empowered him to be the Baal Bayis on me. What I've done is I have the difference between the kinyanim pnimium of a person and the kinyanim chitzonim is the kinyanim pnimium means I'm the Baal Bayis on it. What I think and what I feel and what I understand is mine and only mine. Nobody else is sholate over it, and that means I draw my strength from within me, and therefore nobody else has a shlita over me. If I need to go and to tell everybody else, then that means I draw my my validity from the outside, and then the outside has on me shilton. There's a kind of a an anecdote people tell over. For some reason, Borough Park gets picked to be the neighborhood where people do things for show. You can move it to Flatbush, you can move it to Five Towns, you can move it wherever you want, the joke, but it's the same thing. Somebody was standing outside making some very fancy marble staircase on the outside, or some very fancy whatever adornment on the outside. And he was standing with the builder and sort of telling him what he wants, the siding, the color, the backdrop, etc. Somebody drives by in a car. He stops the car, he comes out, and he tells the two of them, "I want you to do it this way, and I want this color." So like, the guy looks at him shocked. The owner says, "Hello, like, who are you? Like, what's it to you?" So he says, "Listen, if you're making decorations outside, it's not something that you need. It's you're doing it to impress me. Well, let me tell you what's going to impress me. It's my call, not your call." So anytime we have where it serves as a where mamlich the chutz on the pnim, that's why I give strength to the chutz over the pnim. The flip side, when I do not speak, unless there is a to'elus in the dibur, that means that I perceive the dibur as a tool to take my understandings and rule over the bria. For instance, a king, let's take an example. When a king seeks counsel from advisors, so there's a statement there of a certain level of inadequacy. I'm exposing my position to my advisor and ask them, "What's your input?" Which, again, it's perfectly legitimate, but the expression is an expression of need to someone else. When I turn around and tell everybody in my kingdom, "This is what you shall do," there the dibur is taking my pnimius and being mashlitit on the chutz. So the koach hadibur of a person is, so to speak, a leash. And it is the medium for shilton. It depends greatly in which direction it's going. So if you have, for instance, let's take an example, and don't, in America, for those of you in America, it's a little bit politically incorrect, but still, it's true. What am I going to do? Women have the nature of being dabronius. Chazal say that the Kadosh Baruch Hu, said, "Wish I create the woman from here, she'll be dabronius," and she's still dabronius. Dabronius doesn't mean she talks a lot. That's not the point of it. The point of it is she lives in the world of Diburim. A woman's it's the equivalent of telling a man not to think about something is to tell a woman not to talk about something. A woman's experience of life, a woman's hashing through events, a woman's any type of life needs is met strongly by dibur. So she's not looking, it's not lemaisa, she doesn't, it's hard for her to live by herself, and that's why she needs to talk about her experience. And that's the shorish of the husband's vuyim shalbach. The shilton on her is because she needs him. She needs to live life with another person who lives with her, at least in Olam HaDibur. I forgot who says it, maybe the Rashash or somebody says that the word almana, the Gemara says it comes from the fact that she's missing a mana. He says it comes from the fact, from the word ilaim, which means mute. An almana is unfortunate. Her great misfortune is more than the fact that there's nobody there to give a parnasa, nobody there to be physical with her, is that there's nobody to be emotional with her. The fact that she has to live and not be able to speak to somebody is an extraordinary tsar for a woman. So the dibur of the woman and the shilton of the man on her are two sides of the same coin. When I need the other's ear, which in itself is sort of an approval, then I am under that shilton. That's where that's where somebody who's a davrin comes in. When you have somebody who is a that's one area. I see we're having a problem with I see we're having a problem with the sound. Fine. So I guess the computer took the lesson of being mute very, very seriously, and it was the issue with the Koach HaDibur, I guess, and not wanting to give itself away. And one must admit that the computer actually is our boss. We're under its shilton. We have no we have total confirmation that whoever remains mute becomes your boss. Okay, Al Kaponim.
I had to sacrifice an Avos Reya.
So we have the shtika of Esther. The answer is like this: the shtika of Esther, the mid of shtika is, Maral says in many places, is that the person is pnimi, and therefore, let's take it on a very on a simple form, on a pshat form. Had she told him, if you tell the other person something about yourself, that person has a balabatishkeit on your on you. So if she would have said straight off when she got married that she's a Jewess, then he would have been busy scheming how to get around her, and she could found some way to do it. So it wasn't so much that she needed to. It wasn't so much that she needed that she had a plan as to why she's not saying it, but the metzias of Yisrael is somebody who is who doesn't need the mile of Yisrael doesn't need the outside dibur to the other, doesn't need the other person to give it covered or chashivas, whatever it is, and therefore that lays that's a strength that it's able to be misgaber on the other. It becomes a tool to be misgaber on the other person because I have something that the other person has no shlita on. It's like everywhere. It's like the, you know, in business and war, if the other person has information, then the other person has a shilton on it. If the other person has no information, the other person has no shilton. That's where the midah of shtika comes in, and that's where it's a mila in shtika. He asked, what about the dibur in tefillah and the dibur in Torah? So the dibur in tefillah and in Torah are actually going in the opposite directions. The dibur of tefillah is your acquiescence to the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's something where you are showing your subservience to Ribbono Shel Olam by expressing your needs and desire and hopes and fears to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maisa HaTefillah in its at its core is an act of submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just like somebody, when he doesn't turn to you to ask for help, there's a certain sense of self-reliance. And when you turn to somebody to ask for help, there's a certain hachna, there's a certain, you know, I'm beholden to you, I need you, etc. So tefillah, that's where the dibur comes in. And that's why it's always called, I'm being sheifich libi b'tefillah. I'm pouring out my heart. It's a vulnerability of sorts, but in Klap HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the most appropriate mahalach. In Torah, dibur is the exact opposite. Let's take an example. There are many people who feel who intuitively sense certain phenomena in the world, and the person is the person himself the person who stands out, the thinker, the scientist, whoever, is the one who's able to formulate words that correctly express it. A lot of times you'll read a review of a book, a thinker, or something like that, and you say to yourself, and you know, as a standard in academics, a person will coin a phrase to sort of encapsulate, you know, the distinctions. So if the person is doing something good, if the person is actually accomplishing something with what he's doing, then you'll realize you had the same vague feeling about the book or the person or the thinker or whatever it is that the writer has. The difference is that because of these words, these clear hagdaras, you're now able to sort of get a handle on it. That's exactly when we read something long, it's very helpful when you have a three-word subtitle, because the subtitle becomes the dibur that encompasses it all. The words give you a shilton over it. Reb Chaim's chilukim. So many people feel intuitively a chiluk, but when you feel a chiluk, there's absolutely no use of that unless you're able to clearly define that chiluk. And therefore, the definition of that chiluk between the two cases is really essential to your being able to make use of that definition. So the Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is where you take a vague, you take ideas and you bring them down into the world of dibur. So it doesn't have to be, even if you enunciate it, or it's more if you're able to give it words, you're able to move it from the stage of what the Maral calls Seichel Yuni to Seichel Adibri. You're able to sort of classify it, define precisely, and so on. So the Koyach HaDibur is the leash. It's a pasuk called "Bedvar Melech Shilton," that the king rules with his mouth. So dibur has a shlita, but it's a two-way sword. It's either the shlita comes from outside in or inside out, depending on is the person on top of diburim or not. I once heard from B'Shem Reb Chatzko Sarna. Ramon Shapiro once said over that it says that Binyamin's stone was Yashper. Yashper is his stone, and Chazal Darshin Yeshper. He has a mouth. So they darshan that he didn't tell anybody about this. Shaul didn't tell anybody about it. The Melucha didn't tell about this. The Chazal go through different descendants of Binyamin who knew when not to speak. So Chassan said, so it would be much more appropriate to call it Ein Peh. He didn't have a mouth. He shut his mouth. So Rav Chassan said in his colorful way, he said, Amoil is a kran nishken rine, which means a mouth is a faucet, not a gutter. In other words, the mouth is not just when the brain has excess weight on it and it's too difficult for you to sort of hold on to it, you sluice it out of your mouth and share it to somebody else. A mouth is like a faucet, which it delivers the water when and where and how much you want. So the mouth is something which is shiltein, and it's mashed itself on the dibur. In the spheres, Malchus has two different, either it's the woman or it's the Kerech HaPeh. It is also called Peh Malchus. It's a certain Malchus because you are in effect using Diburim for whatever actually you want. So in Megillas Esther, the Dibur, the control of Esther over her Dibur is exactly what was the Koach of Klai Yisrael. If you take a look, if you think about it, even Al Derech HaPshat, the whole Megillah, the Mahalach of the Megillah, is precisely that process. We go, Achashverosh is kol kulo chitzonius. In other words, he's shows off. He starts by showing off his malchus, and that's the first thing that he does in order to show how great he is. And then we go from that, and then he tries to show off Vashti. In other words, the thing that is the most panimi and nista to us, the thing that is ours and only ours, and we don't talk about it, and we don't display it, and we don't hint at it, is something that he needed to display. Even Taiva was not good for him unless he displayed it. It's something that I think about a lot. People always did things that were wrong. That's been since time immemorial. It never was better. But it's as Mayim Gnuvim in Taku. People enjoy doing aveiros. They have an enjoyment of it, and that's human nature. Nobody felt that he needed to post all of his aveiros with a video and a soundtrack and explanation for him to enjoy his aveiro. Why can't you just enjoy aveiro quietly? I mean, taiva should be fine enough. Why is it that until you don't have it on your I mean, say Facebook, but I it's probably outdated. The Instagram, Twitter, I don't know. I don't lose track of what exactly is current today. But the point is that everything, unless it comes bachutz, has no value or meaning to us. It's something that, you know, people talk a lot about all the different things of the internet, how bad, and this and that, the dish was, that was fine. That, it's true, of course, it's all true, and it's terrible, and so on. But there's something so much deeper in the kilkel. A person has a profound experience. Unless he takes a picture of himself, he doesn't have it. And so the person will hang on to the side of a mountain and take a picture of himself, because that's the only way he actually has it. That's incredible. We have no teichen, because the way in which we describe a teichen is, if it can't function as is, and it can only function when given out to the world, then I'm dependent on everybody. So when I post stuff, it means I'm dependent on other people's looking at it, seeing it, admiring it, despising it. It does make a difference. Klal Yisrael's core mida, as expressed in Purim, is the pnimius. It's the fact that Klal Yisrael doesn't need the Umos HaOlam. The strength of Klal Yisrael, they don't need the Umos HaOlam to validate it. Part of the aftertaste of all the people that are running to the Goyim for interfaith dialogues, it's not. So people look around the Avodah Zarah part, the this part, that part, you know, in Halacha, you can always find the sermon at Tehran. It's not the issue. The issue is, why is it that unless the Galach says, oh, you people are wonderful and great, that we don't feel wonderful and great? You know, yes, it says, Ki Chachmaschem in Ebein Amin, but it's not because we needed to show. Kadosh Baruch Hu figures out if he wants to do it. The fact that we need to have them validated is something that is a big chisar by us, and that gives them the koch over us, because whoever is tolling the other one is the one that's the nishlat. If you're tolling on someone else, you're nishlat. The
I would guess that since Megillas Esther is the last, it's the last Chelek HaTorah Shebekhtav, it's the Chelek HaTorah Shebekhtav that goes to us with Megillas. That's it. It means that in Golas we need to understand that our pnim needs to nourish us as such, letting our pnim become a timtza to get the other person's approval, because I'm telling the other person that's our subjugation to the Mesoilam. When we need to be mishtatef in the Suda because we want to be recognized, then we have a problem. It's when Esther doesn't need to be recognized, when she turns into herself and doesn't is not telling the other person, that's when we hold on. I even want to say this, in Chazal speak about whether Esther's act was, you know, Chazal speak about Esther's living with Achashverus, being praiseworthy, and the Gemara asks that she was mishaneh from him, and Chazal say karka olam, that or hanasa. I'm sorry, the Chazal say that the teivasan shel rishoyim is bad for they have no hanor from it. So on the pasha pshat, the Gemara is talking about the affair and hilchas arayis and so on. That's obvious pasha pshat, but I think there's a deeper nekuda. If you are nehene from the other person, that means you're meshubet to him, and b'meila you can't be freed from the other person because you yourself are meshubet to the person. It's only when the other person, when if I have zero hanah, the only way I can use the act to be shaled on him is when I take nothing from him, and then I'm in a position to be shaled on him. So the whole Megillah is v'nahafechu, you know, asher yishutu heim b'yaveihem, that we were shaled on them. The whole Megillah is going from a process of who's being shaled on whom. The shaled of it starts with the Ein Esther Magedes, and b'meila, once we don't, the people who Mordechai was not nehene from Surah Hashverus, the people were not nehene from them, they got nothing, Esther got nothing physically or emotionally from Musaylam, they were the ones that were able to be shelet on the Musaylam. Any questions, any points?
I was gonna ask, how does it play into that? This idea, the fact that in the end of the day, we needed Achashverosh to be the one to save us. I mean, we didn't. Hashem didn't save us himself. We needed.
We were able to make you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Malchus into the Bria. Whether Malchus will be dominate us, or we will use the Malchus as a tool, depends on us. I mean, Achashverosh was a tool. He was the power tool. Whether Haman would use a Hashverosh against us, or we would use a Hashverosh against him, was totally who had the shilt in his hands, who was Shalit. That was so. That's exactly the point. There's a kli called Malchus, just like we talk about Dibur. If my Dibur is totally in other people, if I'm totally in other people because of my Dibur, then that becomes a kli for someone else to be Shalit on me. If my dibur is only when I need and want to hold on to the other, I become the shultan mikorach my dibur. Next week I'm not going to be here, and in 2 weeks will be for those of us who are Dalit, it's going to be Purim, myself included. I don't know if anybody here is in Yerushalayim, but whatever it is. So the next 2 weeks, Simchat Hashem is not going to be shared, and then Be'ez Hashem will resume week afterwards at Be'ez Hashem.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks, Rabbi. Good Shabbos.
Okay, good Shabbos, everybody. Take care.
I feel important
to everybody.